Let us now move on to item 7. And there will be a time limit of 1 hour for questions to executive members. Each member asking a question will have a maximum of 1 minute to ask the question and 1 minute to ask a supplementary question. Each member responding will have 2 minutes to respond to the question and 2 minutes to respond to any supplementary questions. So, we're going to move immediately to questions to the Leader of the Council, but I think I need to remind people that the audio recording of this item of business will be placed on Hearts Direct with a link from the minutes so that the questions and answers are available to all. So, questions to the Leader of the Council. Is there a question from a Liberal Democrat member? Paul Zukowski.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would like to ask the Leader of the Council, I note in his report that he refers to an executive decision to grant Veolia yet more time to produce their material. My understanding is that that is the second extension beyond the original timed submission date for that. Is the Leader of the Council intending to do that for all procurement processes?
Thank you. Rob Gordon.
Well, we grant extensions where it makes sense in the interest of the Council. This one did. The contract has now been confirmed. The planning processes will follow.
Thank you. Is there a supplementary?
There is. Can the Council Leader confirm that he's confident we're meeting procurement rules if we don't extend that kind of courtesy to a whole raft of other potential contractors that might actually look at that and say, well, they've been treated like that, why can't we have similar sort of extensions? I think he's on somewhat shaky ground when it comes to that, because that could be legally challenged.
Thank you. Rob Gordon.
I act on advice on these matters rather than my own rather flaky legal background, and I'm advised that our processes are entirely in order.
Thank you very much. Is there a question from a Labour member? Leon Reef.
Thank you, Chair. Could I ask the Leader of the Council, on Thursday it will be 4 weeks exactly since the EU referendum result, and so could I ask him to venture some ideas on how that may affect well or badly on the residents of Hertfordshire?
Thank you. Robert Gordon.
Well, you can ask me, but I don't think you can tempt me too far. Clearly, we are all aware that there are huge issues yet to be even thought about, let alone determined. It would be premature for me to prejudge that. There are, of course, one or two answers to written questions in the pack today. I think that's about as far as we can go for now.
Thank you. Is there a supplementary?
Yes, Chair, thank you. Well, yes, I understand the written answers and so on, but the fact is that there have been ramifications already since the referendum result in a number of financial areas and so on, and in other areas regarding work that is now being cancelled because there is uncertainty. Are we likely, in your opinion, to face a problem when it comes to making decisions further down the line on those lines?
Well, you're trying to draw me into issues which are, I think, complicated for those of an even much higher grade than I. Clearly, I think everybody on both sides of the debate on the referendum recognises that there would be some turmoil, some uncertainty, at least in the short term, if not longer. Yeah, so it is far too early to know how directly any of that would impact on Hertfordshire. Clearly, this administration will continue to do everything it can to protect the interests of Hertfordshire and its people.
Thank you very much. Is there a question from a Conservative member? No. So we will move on to questions to the Executive Member for Environment, Planning and Transport. Is there a question from a Liberal Democrat member? Chris White.
Chairman, the portfolio holder will be aware that the performance of Thames Link continues to cause alarm and despondency amongst the residents of Hertfordshire. As an example, yesterday, four coach trains in the rush hour, the sinkhole and its aftermath and so forth, and as ever, a shortage of drivers. It's not as bad as Southern, but does he agree with me that this council now needs to take a lead alongside other affected councils, go to government and say, enough is enough, anything's got to be better than Thames Link other than the previous lot?
Thank you. Derek Ashley.
Yes, absolutely, I do agree with you totally and completely. I monitor the Thames Link and Great Northern websites and every day there are unplanned cancellations and peak hour cancellations, which are called a major inconvenience to the travelling public. I was talking to our comms section only yesterday, and we have been talking to other local authorities to try and put together an initiative, certainly in the media. And we feel that a collection of authorities saying the same thing would be much more powerful. I do think there's something in me which says new minister, time to get a grip headline, I think would be something that I would certainly support and be working on. So hopefully this week we will actually be taking a media initiative on this particular issue. And I think it is a time to get a grip, quite frankly. Whether or not the previous rail minister resigned over this particular issue or got pushed, I'm not sure, but it's certainly something I think that whoever the new rail minister is, and I can't know if they've been appointed, I think they have, should get a grip on. It's gone on too long. It's over 2 years since the franchise was awarded. We've been promised jam tomorrow continually. Members will know I've had at least two appearances in the media, and I've put out various releases relating to this topic. We have tens of thousands of people who use these corridors every day to and from work, and it's our duty, I believe, to represent their interests and pressure the Department of Transport to actually take some action.
Thank you very much. Is there a supplementary?
Very brief one. I'm very grateful for the response. Can I ask the Executive Member to continue to keep us informed so that we can relay things back to residents and provide some relief?
Yes, indeed.
Thank you. So we now move on. Is there a question from a Labour member? Sharon Taylor.
Thank you very much. At the Environment, Transport and Planning Panel, we considered the Transport Vision a very good document, a very detailed document. However, what seemed to be missing from that was a kind of overall statement around a shift away from car travel and to more environmentally friendly forms of transport. We've already heard in other debates this morning our keenness and willingness to promote bus services. We have been a bit contradictory on this council in cutting the subsidies to buses, and I know that those who live in rural areas find those public transport services very essential to them. But we need to consider the maintenance of cycle and pedestrian networks and the links between buses and trains and all of that. So would the executive member agree that it's essential that we do have contained within our ongoing transport vision that this county and this
Sharon,
council...
Sharon, I'm afraid we've run out of time. You had a 1 minute to ask the question, yeah, so thank you very much indeed. I'm confident that Derek Ashley will reply.
The gist, Chairman. The answer is yes, but of course, as I repeat once again, some of these ambitions and aspirations have to be embedded in the emerging local plans. And I think, as I alluded to before, I'm not sure the local planning authorities have grasped some of these issues and are actually articulating these issues well enough in emerging local plans. We will play our part, but I remind everybody in this chamber, we may be a strategic deliverer, but we are not the strategic planner.
Thank you. Is there a supplementary? Thank you. A Conservative question? No. Then we're going to move on to questions to the Executive Member for Highways, and my expectation is that we'll finish this and then we'll go and have the photos. So, is there a question from the Liberal Democrat member to Terry Dorris?
One year we might surprise you. One meeting. On the 11th of July, a press release was issued in relation to the new triage system, which said the new triage approach means that when a Fortage reporter, qualified inspector, visits the location. It also referred to the fact that 7,699 inspections were carried out. However, this press release, would the executive member agree with me, was inadequate in that it did not refer to, this should only have referred to category one faults, because it implies in the press release that all faults, i.e. when a fault is reported, that's what it says, an inspector will visit, and that is not the case with the triage. Equally, in terms of the 7,699, 3,084 were closed, not repaired, and 1,098 were downgraded. Why has that not been referred to in the press release, and why, therefore, has misleading information yet again been issued by this authority?
Terry Dorris.
The press release is a press release. I reject the assertion that we are misleading the public. We put out a press release to highlight the various aspects of the work that we're doing within the triage service. The whole point about the triage service is actually to have a more consistent and appropriate response to public-related or public-reported highways faults. It allows the triage inspector to look at the nature of the fault, to assess the fault, to to determine what is the best method of remediating that particular fault. There are a number of different issues or approaches that can now be taken, and we're working with our highways term contractor Ringway to examine those particular types of fault repairing materials. There's been greater use, I know, of jet patching and so on. With regard to the point about the press release, if you'd have actually referred me to the press release beforehand, I would have been able to have given you a more detailed answer. But what I would say is that a number of faults which are reported don't actually meet the criteria. It gives the triage inspector an opportunity to assess those. And what I would say, as I said earlier on, it allows us to transfer £730,000 from the Cat 1 repairs, which are not always the most appropriate way of doing things, into Cat 2 repairs, which give us a more permanent and appropriate repair going forward for the benefit of the highways.
Thank you. Is there a supplementary?
The press release went out in the executive member's name. I would have thought he would have known what was in the content of the press release. Given that the triage service only refers to faults in the 5 and 20 day repair, why has that not been referred to in the press release, and the time frame for doing the repairs has been extended, which again has not been referred to in the press release?
The extension of the time frame was discussed very widely at the cabinet panel. It would have been picked up, and I'm quite sure, Stephen, that if you were that anxious about it, you would have actually used your own press releases to highlight that. We are refining the service to make sure that we give the best possible service. There was no slight intended by not including it, but we have to also make a reference to the fact that newspapers and the media write to some extent what they want, and so therefore we make our press releases as concise and as appropriate as possibly we can.
Thank you. Is there a question from a Labour member?
There's a Judy question Billing. From a very hot Labour member, but I guess I'm not alone. In an earlier debate about buses, we all talked about the very fortunate London position, I think it was called, on a number of occasions, as something to aspire to. My question is about 20-mile-an-hour zones, because well over a third of Londoners now live on streets where there is a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit, including major bus routes all over London. And I just wonder, given the ease with which London boroughs seem to be able to implement these things, why it's taken me 5 years to get a small cluster of streets in the gorgeous old market town of Hitchin even close to being able to implement such a thing.
Thank you. Terry Dorris.
I think it's probably fair to say that there's a very great difference between the nature of the process in London and than it is in Hertfordshire. I can't speak specifically about your street in Hitchin, and I'm sorry about that. but we do have a process for delivering and developing 20 mile an hour speed zones and 20 mile an hour speed 20 mile an hour streets. We do have to make sure that they meet the appropriate speed management criteria. We need to make sure that they are proportionate and realistic, and also, of course, that they are, if you like, self-enforcing, because unfortunately we can't have the police, we can't expect the police to enforce 20 mile an hour speed limits per se. What I know that does happen in London, and I can't say whether it's for sure about 20 mile an hour speed limits, is that London has a huge number of traffic cameras which probably can be utilised for that purpose, possibly. But more than that, I would urge people and members to promote 20 mile an hour speed zones where it is appropriate.
Thank you. And is there a supplementary?
It certainly is, having been promoting such things for a very long time. I don't need urging to promote them. And if we've got a series of processes that are much more difficult than those in London, I do suggest we look at them. But given that, and given the public's keenness on these, I wonder whether Terry Duris and Ralph Sangster would like to come to each district in the county to have a meeting with the public to both explain the processes of 20 mile an hour zones and also to answer questions about why they're so happy with the highways efficiencies as we have them at the moment. Having said so in this chamber, please could we say this in all the districts and boroughs of Hertfordshire?
Thank you. Terry Duris.
That's a very hot question, Ms.
No.
Billy. Yes. One of the great features about our democracy is that we actually have executive members, but we also have elected members, and that is the conduit to actually interact with members of the public. So I would actually leave it to the elected members to interact with those members of public, because they will know the immediate issues far better than I do, and that's the way I think it would be best served. And they would also, individual members also have access to their highways locality officer, who can advise them about speed management strategy.
Thank you very much, and I'm going to stop the questions there. So I don't know how many minutes we've had, something between 15 and 20 minutes, so we'll have something like that, carefully and accurately timed when we come back. Photographs outside now, please. Lunch will be served from 1 o'clock, and I know lunch can be through in 45 minutes, so I'm going to suggest that we reconvene here at 1:50, not 2 o'clock, 1:50, so we'll see you here then.